Welcome back to Thursday Front Page. My name's Rob Cameron on the line now. Lady who's been with us a couple of times before and really enjoy our conversation. Sue Barrett, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rob.
Good to have you back. Interesting, the discussion we had previously about changing communities. One of those was a breakdown in trust, and you're a little bit younger than me, I'd imagine, but I remember vividly back in the 1980s when a federal minister came back from a trip to England and he brought back a Paddington bear and didn't declare it at customs and immediately, without any inquiry required, lost his job. It was a big news story for a long time in the country. Nowadays, that would just not even make the newspaper, I wouldn't have thought, with so many others that have coming and have definitely, without any question of doubt, no matter which side of the political fence you sit on, a confidence in our parliamentarians has eroded dramatically over the last few years, and in particular the last probably two.
Oh, I would agree with you, and this is the challenge with all of these things. This stuff sort of sneaks up on us, and then it becomes mainstream and normalised, which is very problematic, which is why we have to be ever vigilant about what is ethical, effective conduct and what is not.
It just seems that it's become so brazen now, and I think the events of the last couple of weeks over another Auditor-General's report into some government pre-election promises around railway car parks looked very messy, but the explanation that's come out when pressured by the media, basically saying, well, we're elected, we'll do whatever we like, that language I'd never heard before, but it just confirmed to me of how much the landscape has changed.
Oh, you're absolutely right. There's very good commentary in more independent media, not necessarily the mainstream media. I read a very good article by Yi Fu Ying in The Conversation. She's a senior lecturer at the Faculty of Law at Monash University, and she was exploring why we're getting more of these types of rort scandals over the last few years. And she was saying that there's two things we have to think about if we want to obviously look at this effectively is legal and political regulation of, say, grants programs in Australia, because this was tied to grants, so-called. And she said the political regulation of the grants program is actually working pretty well because, as we see, the Auditor-General, which is an independent officer of the Parliament, obviously is reporting on any maladministration of grants. Okay, so that's why we're hearing about these things. That's why we're seeing these sorts of things. So they're being brought to light by the Auditor General. However, what she says is that the problem is that the legal regulation of the grants program is where we're getting these issues. And this is where the politicians are playing on this to try to, kind of normalise their unethical and illegal behaviour. And so there is a sophisticated financial management legislation that provides a framework for these grants rules, but unfortunately there are significant loopholes in it. And this is what these politicians are using to justify what they're doing, such as the car park or the sports rorts, scandals that we're seeing at the moment. And she said that basically when you're looking at the legal side of things, they actually find these loopholes to then justify their actions. So that's why we need an independent statutory body to administer these government policies rather than actually leaving it to the politicians themselves. So what she says is that would avoid the partisan interference and short-termism that is now characterised in modern politics. So this is where the grants programs, we have to have legal penalties when people don't abide by them. But at the moment, there is no penalty for breaching the Commonwealth grants rules in the financial management legislation. And so, therefore, there's no repercussions on the politicians who seem to be acting with impunity. So I would strongly recommend people look up this type of information to understand how our legal and political frameworks are enabling this type of behaviour to happen. And that's the thing. You know, a lot of lawyers and accountants, you know, whether it's tax avoidance or, you know, legal things, they'll find loopholes that justify that behaviour. It doesn't mean it's moral, it doesn't mean it's ethical, and it doesn't mean it's good for society, and we do have to call it out.
It's interesting, I made a little promise to do that, and I also again say that I don't have an interest on either side of the political fence, because we've seen some deplorable behaviour from both sides over the long period of time. It's just that at this particular stage, federally, there's one body has been in power for 8 years, so obviously they're controlling the shots and they'll be scrutinised more at this particular point. So I want to make that clear at this stage. My concern, even though you've explained that so very well, one of the penalties that we used to have was that there'd be a penalty at the ballot box, but there doesn't really seem to be much of a fear, knowing full well that you would do this, you'd eventually be caught out. It might take 18 months or 2 years, so there's going to be repercussions, but there doesn't seem to be any fear that it's going to affect them too much on polling day.
Well, again, we've got to look at how people are getting the right information or propaganda. And again, if this type of stuff is not being exposed what it is across the mainstream media, where a lot of people may get their information from, then people don't know. And so this is why, you know, from a democracy perspective, we need to be active citizens in our democracy. We have, I think it's our civic duty that our democracy isn't just what we do on voting day. We have to actually be well informed. And I know a lot of people go, oh, I can't be bothered, it's too hard, and, you know, I've got other things to do or to worry about, or I'm just too comfy with how things are. I understand that. We're all busy. We've all got stuff we have to do. However, we live in a democracy, and it is really important that at some stage, you know, we take, you know, an interest in our democracy, because if we don't, then they'll keep using these loopholes and they'll keep sneaking things through, and then we'll find ourselves in a really terrible situation where the things that we, you know, cared for are no longer actually, you know, there for us to use in the manner in which they were, you know, designed to be used. So that's why I think it's really important that we be active citizens. And as you know, I'm part of that Voices of Communities out there, where we're trying to make sure that people are aware of their democratic rights and obligations as citizens of this country.
What is interesting to me and makes me think that the government of the day are probably reading the tea leaves the same way. People who are rusted on voters will find an excuse for this behaviour if you just talk to them in the general environment that I run in. If someone's very strongly supportive of the government and this is looks blatantly wrong, it doesn't seem to faze them. They're very supportive of that. The ones that affect the government most are the swinging voters, and there only needs to be 2 or 3% of those can make a huge difference on ballot day. But they are the sort of people who are not inclined to be seeking the information. They really only wait until the last couple of days before an election to make their mind up, so it'll only be the news of the day. So this particular stuff doesn't stay with them for long, doesn't resonate with them for any period of time. So your Voices of Movement is probably really important to get those people to become more engaged.
Well, like anything, what we've got to do is make whatever it is we want to promote, you know, in the community visible to the people that need to know about it. And then what we have to do is make it easy for them to engage and understand it, and then repeat. Now, of course, the government of the day has, you know, our money, quite frankly, to promote whatever they want to all of us. The mainstream media has a lot of money to promote whatever they want to us. So we have to be careful about how we investigate and assess what we're digesting in terms of information. So it takes effort, I understand, and we have to think about things, and it is complex and there's lots of moving parts. But again, coming back to what is fair and reasonable, I mean, the feedback from our community in terms of our Voices of Goldstein has told us that there is a growing dissatisfaction in the Australian community with the current state of politics and politicians. This is not just from Goldstein, but this is across the community. And I think I may have mentioned this stat before, but in the last 10 years, public satisfaction with the way our democracy is working has actually crashed from 86% to 41%. So there is concern. It's about how do I digest all this information and use it to, you know, to find the right people to represent us, you know, in unity and in Canberra and state politics and so on. I do know that not just Goldstein, but other voices of communities around the country, there's about 35 of them now, are telling us that they want an independent commission against corruption, so an ICAC, okay? They want at federal level. They want to promote real-time transparency of all political donations. They want to strengthen the Freedom of Information Act and also bring in whistleblower protection and also to create a more diverse media landscape. That tells you something, that we're not stupid, but it's about, you know, starting somewhere, putting one step in front of the other. The thing about trust, you know, you mentioned that at the beginning, if you think about it, is I've got to know, can I trust you, and you've got to know if you can trust me. And so what that currency is our trustworthiness, okay? And trustworthiness is actually made up of three things. Authenticity. So is Sue who she says she is? Is she authentic? Is she consistent with her, you know, herself as a person as she presents herself? Second is empathy. And this is ability to be able to understand other people, see it from their perspective. You don't have to always agree with them, but you at least respect that they have this view or see it from that perspective. And the third element is logic. So what is she saying? Is it logical? Can it be verified? You know, because that's the difference between someone who just promotes spin and propaganda to someone who's actually giving us substantive, you know, evidence-based information. So trustworthiness equals authenticity, empathy, and logic. And it's a really good way to assess whoever you're dealing with. Is that what I'm getting from that person or that those people or that political party? Are they trustworthy? Because when people are not trustworthy and they just come with glib statements and spin, that's when we get hoodwinked. But we need to, we have a duty, I think, as citizens to really investigate what's actually happening and make informed decisions at the election box.
So I'm very intrigued with a particular subject that made me angry at the time, and it still does, the Brittany Higgins thing. We're going to talk about that in a lot more detail with our next guest, Emma Mahoney. But just on this basis about changing a broader view, finding a particular issue that will make people sit up and take notice, do you think the women's vote in general is potentially going to put this government risk with their current behaviour around this subject in Canberra?
Absolutely. I was out on a democracy walk on Saturday and a man came up to me and he said, "Have you got something for me?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Anyone but Barnaby." And I think that tells you something about the behaviour and conduct of people and the shame that, you know, the unethical and inappropriate abusive behaviour of, you know, against women. I mean, the fact that we had our federal treasurer live tweeting to Sky News in a personal private conversation with Julia Banks, you know, at the time when she was looking to leave politics, tells you everything about the current state of some of the men in this country and how they treat women. Women are aware of this. Good men are aware of this. We have to do something about it, because when women's fate in a country, declines and we have less equity and so on and so forth, that tells you our democracy is in trouble. So women are 51% of the population. We're an important part. We deserve respect. We deserve to be able to have, you know, equality. And I think it's time for, you know, really good men and women to stand up and fight for that. And I think it's not just women, but decent men will be voting at the ballot box in line with this particular area.
Yeah, and I think that it's an isolated case. There's been so many for over the last 2 to 3 years in particular. But a thing like pork barrelling, the sports rorts and this latest scandal around car parking, probably would wash over a lot of people, because already I'm sensing the comments coming back, "Oh, yeah, they're all the same, they all do it," which is probably 100% correct. So it's not going to resonate with them as much as something, and, you know, the Prime Minister said it himself, I've got a wife and I've got daughters, I'm viewing this. Well, I reckon a lot of other people will be viewing it too, but I think that topic is more likely to stick with them when it comes to making a decision on the future of the country.
Yes, well, look, when anyone ever says, "Oh, they're all doing it," that means you've given up.
Yeah.
And that is precisely when we should turn around and say, well, it's not acceptable. I'm not giving up. I'm going to stand up for what is, you know, right, what is good, what is human, what is decent human behaviour. And that's why I think you saw so many people attend the March for Justice back in March. I think that's why you saw this topic hasn't gone away, because ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, we've got to stand up. So I don't accept when people go, oh, they're all doing it. Well, let's change it. There's a great saying, you can't change anyone else, but if you change yourself, they have to change how they deal with you. And I refuse to lie down and accept that, oh, this is how it is. And I think the rest of us, if we've got people out there, we don't like it when things aren't trustworthy. We don't like it when we're being taken advantage of. We hate it, right? We hate it. It's not part of our natural human condition. So we can't let it go on. So just stand up, keep calling them out, check, ask good questions, and make sure that you don't let yourself be taken advantage of by these scurrilous creatures.
Yes, interesting point. Just one last little comment on changing people's minds. The ABC is really interesting because it's clearly its credibility is being eroded. And already I know a lot of my friends who say we will never listen to the ABC because they're biased. That concerns me because that limits the number of media outlets that tell an alternate view or present an alternate view or present alternate facts. Organisations like GetUp and Crikey, Michael West Media is doing a lot of good work in this space, but they probably don't have a lot of traction in the community. Is there going to be a bit of a concern about getting that correct information that you spoke about out into the community?
Of course, because if people are relying on certain, you know, media outlets for their information, I'm all about diversity, so read widely. But again, unfortunately, with the Murdoch media, the Nine media, there is a bias towards the right. The ABC still, depending on what programs you listen to, actually does have a more balanced view. There are certain areas I think have tilted a bit in a certain direction, which I don't find helpful. But, you know, Radio National has a lot of good stuff on it. There's other, you know, things out there. But, like, this is the thing. A lot of humans just stick to their one little sort of rat run, you know, that little this, do this, do this. Read widely. Look outside. You know, think about what else could I look at and get perspective, because if you only look at one thing, that's what your mind will keep feeding itself and it will keep believing that. So you must look outside and listen to a broader church of people and see what actually is going on, not just in your own backyard, but out in the broader community. And the internet, you know, despite the fact that it's been hijacked by some malfeasance, is a wonderful, environment to dive into to help keep our minds healthy, fresh and open. I remember a great saying, a mind is like a parachute. It only works best when it's open.
It's a very good point. And I'm always intrigued. I listen to the ABC a lot and callers come in and let's look at Virginia Trioli in the morning, Raf Epstein in the afternoon, and both of them are constantly criticised for being too right-wing and too left-wing on the same program, on the same subject. So it just goes to show there's quite a diverse view out there amongst listeners.
Well, if they're being accused of being both, then they're probably actually doing a reasonable job of providing balance.
That's exactly my view, right? Yep.
And that's the thing. And look, again, when people get stuck into binary thinking, you know, black or white thinking, that means their mind isn't open.
Yep, they're a good point.
And they're not looking at logical, looking at things back to that trustworthiness of information and people. They're not looking beyond their own, you know, kind of meme. This is how I see the world, that's it. And if that's how you see the world, then your world is a much dimmer, you know, darker place than what it could be if you opened up to the variety of beautiful things that are out there for people to engage with. And ultimately, as I said at the end of the day, we just want human decency to help each other, and that's actually part of our natural state, is to be curious, to be helpful, and for fairness. That's actually how we're born. And if you think about curiosity, that's an open mind. If you think about helpfulness, that's moving from me to we. And if you think about fairness, it's creating that fair exchange of values so corruption doesn't flourish.
Yes, Sue, loved having your chat. Looking forward to the next one already. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We'll be in touch. Keep up the good fight, and hopefully when we next speak to you, there'll be some positive change.
My pleasure. Thank you as always, Rob. Nice to speak to everyone. Take care.
Okay, Sue Barrett, doing some good stuff.